and in the back has a few more left. Does anyone need one? Mark needs one. Okay, that was that's Stephen's. Stephen helped me, and that is the original, and if anything's wrong, it's his fault. Like last time, it was John's fault for... Well, anyway. All right. You don't want to get me around computers, copiers. And you know, this is one of those lessons tonight I really wish I knew how to do, the like Ken and Chuck and Ross and all you guys do, but I don't, so that's all right. You should have told the elders you didn't want me up here earlier. Okay. So, being strong spiritually, it's a work in progress. You know, and I'm going to go over, I'm going to review. I hope this goes okay doing the way I'm going to review. But any questions, in a minute, we're not starting here, but the page number 4 in your thing, in your handout, is the table of contents, and it shows you all the lessons we've studied. There was one that we had to skip, and so because of we had 2 snow days in a row. But so in a minute we'll go back to that. Let's start out with a prayer, and I'll lead us in a prayer to start our class with, please. Our God and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy holy and great name. Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for all that you give us. Father, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the word that we have, to where we can know how to live our lives and know what to do to be with thee eternally. Father, help each and every one of us to do the things on this list that we see in our table of contents, and help us to take this home with us and to study it, meditate on it, look at scriptures, and try to improve ourselves each and every day of our lives so we can be with you forever in the end. Help us, Father, to all understand that we are sojourners and we're just here for a short time, and to make the best of each and every minute we're here. Help all those, Father, who are sick and who are at home where they can't get out of their beds, to come and be with us. Please help each and every person who's traveling. And we all pray for all of our members' safety back and forth in places that we go to and fro from. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. All right. So on your first page, on the introduction there, does your copy say first on it? Now quit cheating. I'm sorry. It's page 2. I didn't even give myself page 1. No, I didn't even write that. I didn't know if I printed off my notes and you all got those or not. Okay, so you didn't. So on page 2, second paragraph, third paragraph really from the bottom, where it says all parents. So he tells us there, and we all know this, especially if you're parents. Taryn, it's great to see you. I meant to say that when I saw Mark. Taryn, of course, for you visitors, has been taking care of her mom and has been under a lot, and great to see you. Okay, but it talks about how parents want their children to grow and to achieve, and that's, we all want our kids to grow and be a success out of themselves, and I'm not just meaning money, you know, but we want them to achieve and do good in this world, right? And God looks at us the same way as his children. Okay, so it says, our Heavenly Father is no different with regard to his spiritual children. He has begotten us in Christ, 1 John 5:1, and that is an excellent start. And then he says, but his work in us is not complete when we submit to baptism. So after you're baptized, we must continue, it's only begun, he says, we must continue to work out our own salvation. Right? I mean, you don't just get baptized and then that's all you do for the rest of your life. So that's why the importance of this lesson. I wanted to read the very last paragraph too. We often, people a lot of times think coming to Christ is just an exercise of self-denial. Don't do this, you don't have to do that. But it's not like, it is like that. There are things we're not supposed to do, okay? But the main reason we get rid of the worldliness in our heart is so there will be room for Jesus, okay? The more you've got that worldliness and all the sin out of your system, the easier it is for you to grasp what's in the Bible and to do God's will. And I'm sure there's most of you have a better way to say that than I just did, but I hope that's clear. You know, the easier it, the better life you're living, the more sin-free life, the easier it is for you to comprehend and be active in God's Word and learning, and your faith is growing. We'll get in that in a minute. But does that make sense to everybody? I hope so, because that is part of the key to being a Christian, okay? The more, it says at the very bottom of page 2, the more we rid ourselves of the impurities that would hinder our development, the more we'll be in a position for the gospel to do its work in us. To have its way with us. And then I was wanting to read, I really can't spend too much time, on page 3, that last big paragraph there. Some might be put off by the prospect of always striving for perfection, yet never achieving it. But that attitude, frankly, is rooted in laziness. God did not give us a task to achieve as though He would be done with us after we had done so. He gave us a mark to strive for. The example of who? His Son. Okay? All right. That's what we should strive for. And this is, we said this in a class a week ago or so, is we always, always, always keep learning. Every one of us. And I know there's people here I think the world of that know a lot about the Bible that I'll ever know, a lot more than I'll ever know probably. But even they have to keep studying and doing what's right. Make sense? I just don't think there's ever a point where we should hang it up and say, well, that's, I'm not gonna, you know, because there's always some good you can be doing. Okay, let's get into the table of contents here on this. I hope your Bibles are ready and your fingers are ready or whatever you call it if you're tapping on your computer thing. But I'm gonna turn to several scriptures here with each one of these. And if you all have a favorite verse on some of these topics, raise your hand and we'll share it with us too, okay? And if anyone has any questions, raise your hand and I'll sure call on you, okay? So, we started our class with building faith. I've tried to do most of these lessons in order. There's a couple I did out of order. Oh, and by the way, if any of you want a copy of all the lessons, I can make that for you and email it to you, or it is on our website. Okay? You can print it off from our website. And if you want every one of these. In my opinion, there was a couple of lessons that I didn't really use much of anything in them, that I kind of created my own stuff, but tried to stick to this best I could. But so building faith. What's one of your favorite verses when it comes talking about faith? Okay, Romans 1:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? So you've got to hear the Word of God to have faith, correct? Another verse I have is Hebrews 11:6. Let's all turn to that. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you can get several things out of that verse. If you want to please God, you've got to have faith. And you've got to diligently seek Him. What's that word really mean? What's another way of saying diligently? Who's got another word for that? Intensely, earnestly. That implies really you doing something, not just... I think I'll, between the advertisements of this Western, I'll just read a few verses and then I've done my thing. No, that's not the attitude or whatever shows you watch. Mark likes Western, so I'm picking on Mark tonight, I guess. I don't know. But we should diligently seek God and diligently work for a faith. And the stronger we, the more we work, the bigger your faith gets, the more faith you have. Why is it important to have faith anyway? Getting way ahead of myself, but what's important to having faith when something comes your way? Why is it important to have faith?
You can't be a child of God without it.
You can't be a child of God. You can't please God. We read that. The stronger your faith is, though, the easier it's going to be for you to resist the devil when it comes your way. Temptations. Okay? Count it all joy. James 1:2, isn't it? Count it all joy. You know, we're going to get into the lesson on joy, hopefully, here. But when you enter various temptations, the more you can resist those temptations, the stronger you become and the more confident you become. I'm getting way ahead of myself. All right, I'm building faith. I could have tons of verses. As you all know, we had a whole class on that, just like we did all these things. All right. We talked about building faith, and then we talk about building trust. All right, the verses I have for that is Psalms 37, 1 through 10. I like these verses here because Psalms 37, guys, gals, and I've heard this talked about in the church my whole life, but there are people in this old world that are really sinners. They're bad sinners. But nothing bad ever seems to happen to them, you know. Wealth, education, whatever, everything just seems to come their way and nothing bad ever seems to happen. But to me, this is a good chapter to turn to. Sorry. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust, there's our word, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. There's our word again. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. All right, so we trust in the Lord. You can look back at examples all through the Bible of people who trusted in God, okay? We could turn to Hebrews 11 about the Noah, Abraham, all those people. They had a great faith, and they trusted in God. They turned it over to Him. What does God tell us in Matthew 6 when it comes to worrying about things? Matthew 6 about worry, you know.
Well, it doesn't add one. It's not supposed to worry because it won't add
anything. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And God takes care of things on this earth. The flower, you know, the birds. They just live their life and they go on. Now, I hope I'm making sense, but if we just have to know, and I think as a Christian, and I hope by the time we finish this class tonight, and most of you already realize this, but a Christian is up here as far as confidence in God, and we know that God will take care of us. God will provide no matter what happens. Okay? No matter what happens. Yeah, that's easy for me to stand here and say I know. I could have been tested big time Friday night when Kat, my son, and his wife and three little kids about got wiped out by that tornado down there. It's a very scary thing. And I've told you all before, I've been very fortunate, still have my folks and, you know, a lot of good things. But boy, that would have been a test for me if something bad had happened. I don't even want to really dwell on that. And we've been, some of you in here have been really tested with some sad, bad news, you know, and things that have happened to you. But when we realize we're just on this earth for a short time, our faith is strong, will you trust in God, it's easier to overcome these things. Does that make sense? Am I right? I want to hear that, because I know some of you are thinking, well, he just said he's never had any. Am I right about that? Okay. I'm not going to hit you if you disagree. Mark.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, faith is what we build our trust on. Faith is what we pull from, just as far as our everyday walk. And evildoers don't have that faith. They have other things, but we have more than they do.
Yep.
We have the faith that we're going to live eternally with the upper in heaven.
Which is a whole lot more important. Oh, yeah. It's a whole lot more important what Mark's saying, to live our lives, even if we don't get a lot of the nice, neat things that some people, and it's all right if we do get some of those nice, neat things, but if we have our attitude, our trust in God, our faith in God, it's easier for us to be able to overcome temptations. If something terrible happens in the country, something terrible happens to your house, whatever it is, one of your family members, if your faith is real strong, it's just easier for you to overcome that and to accept, hey, we're just sojourners. We're just here on this earth for a short while. That song we always sing, "This World Is Not My Home," how true is that with what we're trying to talk about tonight? It's a great song. It's an old song, isn't it? I've heard it all my life, so it's an oldie. But it's a great song for that. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's great, isn't it? If you have that trust in God to know that He is with you wherever you go, boy, that's a great. You can do all kinds of things. I need a comment so I can take a drink. Anyone?
Matthew chapter 7, you know. You were in chapter 6 a while ago. Chapter 7, 21, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied your name, we cast out devils, and done many wonderful things. And then you'll say, I'll say to you, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
So, are we known of the Lord? You know, mm-hmm. We think we know the Lord, but does he know us?
Right. Yeah, Brother Bone, and some may have heard that, he's close enough to me, but he quoted Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. So what that means is what he means by that is people that are saying, Lord, Lord, are people that are going to church, and they're doing things that he wants them to do, but they just hadn't done it well enough. And did I say that good enough? You know, just because you go to church or you do some of these things in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean God wants 100% commitment to you. What's the verse Ross quotes all the time? Matthew 6:33. Man, my throat is something else tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's something I think we just tell ourselves every single day. All right, I've got to put God first today. How can I do this? What can I do to not let someone get in my way of that? And you'd all just work out that yourselves. Every one of us would have a different way of doing that to make sure we can work on that. Mark?
Well, doesn't it, when it says be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, does that not mean be faithful, have faith, believe in the Lord and follow the Lord and draw your strength from Him?
I would say so. Mark's, by it saying be courageous and what now, and you'll prosper. Be strong and of good courage.
And do not be afraid.
Well, for you to be strong and have good courage, you'd have to have faith. I mean, you would have to have faith and the trust in God to be able to do that. If it's a fake thing, then that's not going to get you anywhere, is it? That was the scribes and Pharisees we read about in Christ's time. They knew a lot about the law, but they were hypocrites. Boy, Christ laid it on them, didn't he? Matthew 25 or 23. I get that confused. Tell me. Sit there and grin at me. Jim, I know you know more about the Bible than anyone ever. I love Jim Bone, in case no one knows that.
Hebrews 11:1, you know.
Yeah.
Faith is the definition. Substance or the foundation which everything else is built.
Yep.
And, you know, if you don't have that basic underpinning,
yep.
You know, you don't have what God requires.
Right. Yep. Jim quoted Hebrews 11:1, where it's the definition of faith, of what faith is and all. Okay, so we have faith. We have to build. We're continuously building our faith, our trust, our hope. Turn to Hebrews 6:17-19. Hebrews 6:17-19. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. There's two places in the New Testament we're told God, it's impossible for Him to lie, Titus 1:2, and right here in Hebrews. It's impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So we have to have this hope. And that is a great thing for us to have, for us to live on this earth. It gets us through, I believe, hard times, difficult times. I don't know, when I think of hard times, I know that I can't say I know how. None of us in here can say we know how those Jews felt leaving Egypt and all that. I mean, I can sit here and go, well, boy, I don't know why they started griping a few days out, you know, a few days after they crossed the Red Sea, then they were griping again. You know, it's easy for me to say, well, I don't know why they would do that. That's just awful. But then I hadn't been through that. I would hope I wouldn't, and I hope none of you would either. I hope we would be the Joshuas and Calebs in the bunch, you know, who kept the faith and kept their hope and their trust in God. Very important. So the hope is our anchor. You know, it's important to us to have that hope. And then the lesson on building love. That was the one lesson I wish I could do over again. Of course, we could spend 6 years on love, lessons on love, and it's just a whole lot. But I like Colossians 3:12-17. And I know many of you will have other verses on love. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Okay, that's some great lessons in these readings here. 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I think it's important for the one word that I think of when we talk about just love in general is that servant attitude. If we all have that servant attitude, then we're not going to... The Bible's full of examples for us to not be proud. You know, that's just ridiculous for someone. When you look at what Jesus did and how He came down to this earth, when you read Philippians 2 and you boy, I just don't know how any of us could be proud. If you're stuck on yourself and you really think highly of yourself, you need a checkup from the neck up, as my grandpa used to say. You really do. Forgot my point on that. But work on that. Have that servant attitude to where we're here to help others, you know. If we have that attitude, guys, there shouldn't be problems in churches. You know, most problems, and I've heard from other churches my whole life, I've always heard this, most problems among brethren, sisters and brothers, is not scriptural stuff. It's just petty little things. Shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. There's just no reason for it. And usually, there's usually someone who thinks a little highly of themselves. It is my guess. It's what I'm going to tell you. Don't say that in every situation, but if you've got that, you've got troubles. You know, makes sense. And does anyone agree, disagree? Want to talk about it? Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. Okay, I can tell I'm not going to get in my lesson on joy, which I hate because that's a good lesson. All right, building desire. I'm not going to read it, but 1 Peter 2, verse 2, we are supposed to desire the pure, what? Milk of the Word. Why do you think he's telling those people that at that time? 1 Peter 2, 2, desire the pure milk of the Word. There you go. A lot of false teachers going around. The apostles, Paul knew it. They told people, hey, you know, be careful. You know, they're going to come in like wolves. They'll be like a sheep, but they're like a wolf. And you've got to really watch for that. But desire the pure milk, the genuine word. I've lost my word. I didn't have it written down. It's not genuine. Sincere, I think that's it. There's one more, Ken.
It's also the foundation of Christianity.
It is. It's the foundation of Christianity. Good.
Say authentic.
Authentic.
Original.
Mm-hmm. I'll think of it tonight when I'm trying to go to bed or trying to go to sleep. But there is another word for it, genuineness. But that's all correct for sure. So we should have that desire, though, everybody. And that's what that lesson, one of the main points it brought out, was to know the Word of God, to study it, meditate on it, and keep improving yourselves. If you don't have that desire, you're just going to kind of on a graph, you know, you're just going to kind of level off and be lukewarm. And that's not good. Building patience. Romans 12, verse 9. I'll try to stay in the area where we kind of are already. I got other verses here, but Romans 12. (clears throat) 9 through 17. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Does that just remind you of Jesus? Does all these things you think, doesn't it remind you of Jesus?
Yeah, that's describing the perfect Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, and we all need to be this way, the best we can. That he's our example, and this is wonderful verses. Do not, all right. Repay no one evil for evil. That can be hard. That can be hard to do when someone does you wrong, to you know, not want to just get them back. You know, all right. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay," says the Lord. Do not, in verse 21, do not overcome evil with good. But those are some great verses. When you look at all those, when you look at the word patience, don't you see Jesus? I mean, all right, I know there's one time you can say, well, he got upset because he turned those tables over, and you know, when they were, when he got upset at them. But Christ was extremely patient with people. Look how patient he was with those disciples, his apostles. Just everybody in general, even though when he was on trial. All right, hadn't it? Boy, I don't have time for this, but I want to say it. When they told Christ, when he was getting up, hanging on the cross, when they told, oh, I just don't have time for this. But there were several things. Oh, if he's Christ, why didn't he just send 10,000 or 12 legions of angels? Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he save us? Why didn't he save himself? He could have. He could have done all that. But he just did it anyway. You know, and it's always been amazing to me what the Bible says happened after he passed away, after he died. People were coming up out of their graves. It was dark. Why didn't everyone just say, oh, my goodness, and they all go forward and be saved right then? I just do not understand that. So maybe some of you can teach a lesson on it. All right. We're supposed to build walls. One thing, we're supposed to build walls against Satan. We're told in Job 1, remember what Satan said to God? You've built a hedge around him, a wall where I can't get to him, you know. Oh, okay, then Job, go at him. Just don't kill him, you know. We should build walls to keep Satan out. And the one point I did not say in the class on that is, don't build walls against each other. We're supposed to... That's opposite of what God wants us to do. We're supposed to be together and united. All right? Building relationships. I'm not going to go to the verses, but I have Philippians 2, 1 through 4. We're, again, just be, don't be selfish. Be unselfish. Just do not be selfish or proud. And then the lesson on building bridges. I wrote, we're supposed to love each other. Build bridges. Helping each other, not to tear things apart from each other. Every one of us. So y'all, real quick, boy, I had a good lesson on joy, but I'll save it for if someone's all of a sudden sick or something, and I won't warn you when I'm teaching, then no one will show up, right? What are some suggestions, some of you? A lot of you in this audience are a lot more versed on the Bible than I am. What are some things you can say that'll even help everyone in here to do these things? Anyone have any suggestions?
I think you always have to remember where you're headed.
All right, Taryn says, remember where you're headed.
There are so many hazards along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think you just have to keep focused on that goal.
Yeah.
keep your eyes forward, move forward, trust in the Lord. And that to me is the main idea.
Taryn's saying, keep your eyes forward. Don't. Oh, what's the Old Testament say? Not to the right or to the left. What's that? How does it say that? Shoot. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, don't go to the right. All right. Keep your eye on the goal, right? On the sights. Y'all, and as far as I had this under building relationships and building bridges to help each other. Y'all, there may be, I know. I like a lot of things you all don't like, and most of you don't know this about me, but I love going out and looking for deer antlers. This is, about 3 weeks ago was the time of year they all shed their antlers, and I just like it. And that's one of the main reasons, my wife does not know this, but I bought the place we bought. I wanted to be able to attract deer and find deer antlers. Now, so whether you could care less about that. And I like going over to my parents' farm and looking for them too on the river over there. But, so, I like doing that. Chris, you and Debbie care less about that. And you can go in my house and we've got deer antlers in different rooms, you know, just everywhere, all around. You could care less about that, but you still gotta love me, you know? And I'll tell you, you know, Greg Stanlin, I'll never forget this. 4 or 5 years ago, I had found 5 or 6 deer antlers. And boy, I sent him a picture because I knew he liked to do that too. Well, he sent me a picture right back. It just killed me. He had a pickup truck full of them he had found. And I just had 5 or 6 here. And his were huge too. I mean, what'd he do, go out west or something and buy a bunch of them? But he does that every year. And here's old Calvin, you know. But I still love Greg. And he's not haughty about it. Now, y'all, okay, I don't mean to end in a laughing, huh?
We can start going with Greg.
He won't let me. But I don't want to. All right, compare that to you all. I don't know. Diane makes great cookies and stuff. I wouldn't know the first thing about that, you know. And I don't really care to stand there and see how you do that. And you could care less about walking around in my woods looking for deer. All that, guys, let's all be united and be together. No matter what. No matter what. Boy, I didn't even get into joy. We should have this joy in us. It should shine. And everyone should look at us and go, what's he or she so happy about? You know? Seriously. I mean, and there may be some people that are happy because they just got a job or finished college or whatever, but there's an inner feeling about you that people ought to be able to see in you. Does that make sense? Well, if I could leave you with that and that making sense, I feel better. So, okay. Thank you all.